Good afternoon. I'm Mark Allen with Gaper.io, and I'm here today with Faiz Nathu, the global talent acquisition leader at Marsh McLennan. Good afternoon, Faiz. How you doing?
I'm well, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's not often that I get to do a podcast with someone from such a large company, so this will be very interesting, and especially someone that's a talent acquisition leader for such a large company. How many employees do you have?
We have about 76,000 scattered around about 130 countries or so.
Really? Is that, that's all?
That's all. It's up there.
Did you recruit them all?
And, you know, I'd love to say I do personally, but no, we have a pretty good, amazing team that handles our talent acquisition in our group, right?
Well, very good.
And for so our four businesses. Mm-hmm.
So to start with, can you share a brief background of yourself and your work experience?
Oh my gosh, my background. Where do I start? So I started my career off in risk management way back in the day. I had joined PricewaterhouseCoopers. Did that for several years. I focused on operational risk and then moved over to financial services at Deutsche Bank in London. And then carried on operational risk and then started focusing on some of the other subsectors of that risk. So operational risk is nothing but a fancy term for business risk, right? Looking at people, systems, technology, processes, vendors. So then I started narrowing down my field of expertise down to technology risk and then vendor risk. And then that led me to procurement, where I took over our human capital procurement services. So everything to do with talent acquisition, contingent labor, health and medical, mobility, training and development, things like that. And then really wound up focusing and leading the charge for both contingent labor and full-time employment, right? What are the vendors we use? What are the RPOs of the world when we outsource talent acquisition to certain large firms, so manage those relationships and then strategies for that. And many companies later and months later, I'm at Marsh McLennan leading their contingent labor program globally.
Very interesting. And for those people that don't know what Marsh McLennan does, can you basically explain what they do?
Sure. We're a large professional services firm in the areas of risk, strategy, people. We have four businesses underneath the Marsh McLennan brand. Marsh, which is a global leader in insurance broking and risk management. Effectively, for those who don't know, that means we help our clients better manage and quantify their risks. We were just talking about this earlier on, you know, the Suez Canal blockage. We're out there. What does that mean, right? It's $400 million an hour of lost revenue and trade right there and then. Guy Carpenter is the second one of our businesses. We manage in reinsurance broking and then strategic advisory services and analytics. So part of the team out in the Suez is really putting numbers to what that blockage means. Right, just to give a real life example. Oliver Wyman is our third big brand. They specialize in strategy and operations consulting. And then Mercer. Mercer is our HR advisory, benefits advisory arm. We also have retirement and investment arm underneath the Mercer brand as well.
Oh, very interesting. So you're quite a diversified company, it sounds like.
We are. And, you know, I think we joke about saying Marsh McLennan is, you know, one of the more important firms out there, but yet nobody knows our street name, right? But our four businesses underneath it, people have touched on one of the four at some point in their lives, either directly or indirectly.
Yeah. No. So interesting. I mean, about a year ago, the pandemic hit worldwide, and you're a worldwide company, and you're in charge of acquiring talent. So that had to affect you personally and all of your four companies.
It did, right? So, I mean, we already had an element of remote working built into our day-to-day. So our consultants, by definition, pretty much always worked remote. They'd be off at client sites or anywhere else globally. So they were equipped with laptops, VPN access, etc. So that part of the population, you know, you were equipped. The ones where we affected were really our contingent laborers, right? Our contingent workforce who were always office based for the most part, and some of our other full-time employees, right? Who were always coming into the office. They're office based, many of them with desktops. And so that's just the people aspect of it, right? What do you do with them all of a sudden? Mm-hmm. We've now gone into a 2-week lockdown back in March. That was about 13 months ago, right?
Yep.
Almost 13 months ago. And initially it was a 2-week lockdown, right? Stay home, invoke contingency plan to work from home. Those who didn't have a laptop, we made sure that they got one. Right. So now you're building up an infrastructure. Now all of a sudden, 2 weeks become indefinite.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do?
Yeah.
All right. So some of the things you need to start worrying about is, how do I get my equipment to these people, wherever they may be globally?
Mm-hmm.
It's acquiring the equipment. Mm-hmm. It's getting the equipment to them. And then it's them logging into our network, all of them remote.
Yes.
Right. So when we talk about what are the key challenges, I think those three is equipment, the logistics of distribution, and then the ability to allow a globalized firm of 76,000 people to be logging in to your network.
From home.
From home or anywhere else, right? Just not in the office. Yeah. And so that required us to beef up our remote technologies, our servers. We moved, acquired more bandwidth. We had to tighten up our VPN access, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then on a large scale, we moved on to another technology to allow remote access as well in a secure environment,
mm-hmm.
which is the other big challenge. How do you maintain the security of your network? And, you know, amazed to say that we managed to do all this in less than a few weeks, right? We were able to go from, I remember we got an email one day saying, you no longer have to just log into the VPN. We have now enabled another technology to allow you to be in there that tunnels you into our network in a secure fashion. Everything's now secured,
mm-hmm.
even more so than just a regular VPN that would put a strain on the network.
Mm-hmm.
And we did that in a few weeks.
Wow.
And we had a method of deploying the laptops out to people, right? And we had to coordinate with our courier services, whether it be FedEx or DHL or whomever,
mm-hmm.
To get them built, sent out, right? And then to be able to track them.
Wow.
So, I mean, no minor feat, I'll tell you that. It's one of the better ones I've seen out there. And I'm not just saying that because I work at Marsh McLennan, but to look at it objectively,
mm-hmm.
It was just an amazing feat. And that's us, right? I can only imagine what some of the other larger firms who were initially office-based, how they managed to go remote.
Well, and that's the thing that struck me is you're doing this for 76,000 employees. At the same time, the whole world is doing it. You know, the demand for this just skyrocketed overnight.
Right. So, I mean, if you think about laptops, all of a sudden you have larger employees
mm-hmm.
managing to acquire these laptops. And now you have schools
mm-hmm.
and educational institutions mm-hmm. who are also now gone remote.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're operating on Zoom meeting right now, right? And that's a stock I should have bought several years ago. Who would have thunk it? Went with WebEx, Cisco instead. but Zoom, right? There was, and immediately Zoom had to, not only did their stock literally skyrocket, but also their infrastructure started feeling some strain, and then there were some security concerns, and they had to admit and then patch.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it wasn't just a matter of all the companies trying to then use the same infrastructure. It's mm-hmm. now the infrastructure itself needs to bolster itself.
Yeah, no, it was, I mean, really right around this time last year is when, you know, we were in the heart of this, and it does seem like in general, most companies came out of it pretty well. I think in general.
I think so. In terms of being able to redeploy and go remote, I think most of the companies came out ahead where you can, right? Yeah.
So you're in charge of talent acquisition, and I'm assuming a lot of that happened at your offices before COVID. So, I mean, that had to change also, the ability to acquire talent, you know, without meeting them in person.
Yeah, so that's the other big challenge, right? So we, infrastructure aside, now it's, we still have to recruit. We're still going on with that, even though it's, you know, decelerated on that a little bit during COVID because we didn't know what was going on at the time. But now how do you interview?
Mm-hmm.
What's this? And then how do you go through the onboarding process, right? So we immediately went from obviously office interviews to Zoom,
mm-hmm.
right? We went to video conferencing or telephone interviews. And that was a change in, overnight changing process because we like to be face to face with people,
mm-hmm.
right? So that all of a sudden that's gone out the window. So now we're hiring effectively based on video conversations,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's that change in process was systematic globally.
Mm-hmm.
And you're hiring a team of people based on never having met them.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And that was challenging, obviously. And I think it's opened up and it leads to another point now, whereas previously, whether it's contingent workers or full-time workers, you'd always look for somebody who's relatively close by or in the area.
Mm-hmm.
That requirement is no longer one of the top 10 criteria that a hiring manager would be able to say, this is a must have, right? Mm-hmm. I need them to speak this language. I need them to have this skills. I need them to know this program and I need them to live in this area. Well, that's no longer necessarily a criteria anymore. So what does that mean? That ends up widening your candidate pools.
Mm-hmm.
It means you now have the time to be able to reflect on a wider, diverse pool,
mm-hmm.
right? Which I think is a positive thing. You no longer need that somebody who works in the New York, New Jersey market. You can have somebody working in Montana,
yep.
Assuming that the role is indeed workable from that distance,
mm-hmm.
or from that location, then there's no reason why that can't be a go forward move now. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of companies revisited and reevaluated their location-based criteria.
Mm-hmm.
Including very senior levels at the C-suites. I was talking to several other companies during the time where they were adamant, no, we do not believe in a work from home culture because we want everybody in the office. And now all of a sudden it's like, oh, we can see the benefits of this.
Yeah. Yeah. And do you think going forward that will be the norm, or you think things will go back to wanting people coming in?
You know, that's a good question. I don't think there's ever going back to February 2020,
mm-hmm.
right? Or January 2020. I think if anything, there'll be a hybrid model going forward.
Mm-hmm.
The office for myself personally was keeping in touch with my stakeholders, mm-hmm. right? Those who were in the building. Having a global role by definition meant I wouldn't be in touch with everybody, right? I'd be on Zoom calls or phone calls with them. But I had the ability to travel there, mm-hmm. right? And then meet them at some point where you establish that person-to-person relationship. Now it's a little harder to do on Zoom. It can be done, but it's a little different, obviously. And I think anyone who says otherwise,
mm-hmm.
I don't think that's an accurate assessment. I think it's changed.
Mm-hmm.
But the benefits now are, I think, you remove the person-to-person contact and the work get done. And then for large professional services firms or large firms, yes, the work can carry on. Is it the same impact? Probably not. Right. But back to what I was saying originally, going to the office with managing my stakeholders, it's meeting with my colleagues. It's being able to bounce ideas off, popping into their office and saying, hey, A, B, and C, right? What are your thoughts? It's dealing with senior management where I'd catch them on the way to the lift and I'd say, hey, can I have 30 seconds of your time while we're riding the elevator down? Make your pitch, make your point, get an agreement, you move on, right? You can't do that over Zoom.
Right.
You have to actually either set up a call or set up a meeting invite and a time, et cetera. So that dynamic has changed. And I guess for some companies that's, you're never going to recapture that now.
Yeah. Right?
Not everybody will be in the office at the same time anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And the colleagues I used to work with, I mean, I still talk to them on Zoom. Yes. But will I see them in the office at the same time, uncoordinated? No.
Right.
We'd have to coordinate that we'll all be in the office at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But do you think because of that, you you lose that personal touch, but do you schedule it now more? Is it actually something you say, hey, we should talk once a week, right? And it's more disciplined now, for lack of a better term.
Hey, I don't disagree with that. I think now it's a more concerted effort. And I think I'd almost say it's more important now than it ever was before. Previously, I don't think people talked about mental wellness.
Mm-hmm.
I think being away, not having the people contact, what humans are, they're social creatures.
Yes.
They need that contact. And I think, at least very early on in the COVID days, months on, I think people begin to feel the effects of being isolated and not having that contact. And I think mental wellness, if anything, that's one of the big things that are coming out of remote working is saying, you know what, make the effort, go for a walk in the afternoon, make the effort to reach out to your colleagues who may not be reaching out to you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I had the opportunity this afternoon to talk to a colleague that I hadn't talked to in about 2-3 months. And we were just saying, here's what's happened in my life over the last several months. And she was telling me the same thing about what was going on in her life. It's like, wow, had we been in the office, we would have been out having a glass of wine. Mm-hmm. And we would have talked about this 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Right. But we have to make that effort.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people, to a certain degree, have become closer because of these shared experiences now, right? Taking a call, that's nothing to do with work anymore. It's, Mark, how are you doing?
Yeah.
How's your family? Did you manage to get out? And then obviously seeing the rest of their families pop in and out of the Zoom background.
And their pets.
you have a lovely background there, so I wouldn't even be able to see whether your dog or your child walked in unless they came sat right on your lap, right? And I think that's becoming an accepted part of these Zoom calls.
Yes.
Which I think is a nice thing.
It is. Yes. And for the record, my youngest is 31, so I don't really have to worry.
Well, there you go. It's not going to sit on your lap or a dog or a cat or whatever.
Yeah.
I have a 19-month-old who every now and then will pop in.
Well, that's cool.
He has a cult following with my colleagues. he's a very well-behaved boy. He'll come in and look at the screen and he'll recognize some people and he'll want to pop over and say hello.
Cool.
Do his thing and then walk away. And, as a father, it's always nice to see that when, they're not pulling you away or they are pulling you away, but that's, it adds the human element where the human element was taken away.
Yes.
To a certain degree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I think one of the things we learned was we actually saw inside people's lives, right? Because they were home and, married couple with 2 or 3 kids, it's hectic at home with 5 people.
And those are the other challenges. Right, Mark. So you see into people's lives. It exposes people's lives. It made people, and I'm not a psychologist, but you look at the impact when you talk about mental wellness. people now are working in confined quarters, like in New York, New Jersey area, where real estate is scarce to begin with. You know, you had people who were surviving on a 1 or 2 bedroom apartment with their one kid or pet or just themselves. And that was fine. It was adequate because I'd go to work. I'd come back. There was separation of state, separation of work. Now it's, I'll take the bedroom between these hours and, or you'll take the kitchen. Right. And here's my schedule. So you don't interfere with it. Et cetera, right? So it's definitely caused some challenges at home.
Yeah.
Remote school for those who have school age children has become quite the challenge.
Yeah.
Making sure your internet coverage and your bandwidth at home is now able to take care of not just your Zoom requirements, but that of your partner, if you have one, your child, because they're Zooming into school. You know, and then the increase of bandwidth required for Netflix and Amazon Prime and HBO and all of those starts skyrocketing.
Yeah.
So challenges all around the place.
Yeah, but we got through it. So, well, Fayez, I want to thank you for your time today. It's been fascinating talking to you. I can't imagine what you went through a year ago. I mean, you made it sound like it was smooth sailing, but I have a feeling you had some very long days there.
We had challenges. You know, I think that was the other challenge where people worked instead of 8 hours, they started working 14 hours or 15 hours because, hey, what else am I going to do?
Yes. Yeah. It's either binge watch TV or work. Well, I might as well work, you know, but after a while,
there you go.
I did learn they got more of a life work balance. It took a while, though, I think.
I think we figured it out. I think it's month 13. I've just begun to figure it out.
Yeah. We're all getting ready to get vaccine.
Oh, there we go.
That's a whole different topic. Well,
it's a whole different topic.
Well, thank you again for your time. I know it's late there where you are. So have a great night and good luck going forward.
Thank you, Mark.
All right.